The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Folks, welcome to hour two of the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm Eric Metaxas, or at least I'm playing the role of Eric Metaxas, but I have an actual guest playing himself, Dimas Salaberrios, or something like that.
Salaberrios. Fabulous job.
Okay. ¿Hablas español?
Poquito.
Un poquito.
Gloria a Dios, Espíritu Santo.
Y yo también. Okay. You, my friend, you were talking about the real problem in Chicago with the shootings. You said is forgiveness. And now you're a Christian minister.
Yes.
What do you mean? I mean, if somebody says, how do you explain when you say that's the real problem? Why do you say that's the real problem?
Because there in the film, you know, we film a gang meeting and they break it down. They're like, there's so much damage between two neighborhoods that you know, the guys can't even go to the store anymore. And that damage is, you know, if one person is killed, this other gang tries to kill 10 of their friends. And if one person's killed on this side, they try to kill another 10. So we have one shooter that we interviewed, and his name is Dolo. And he says it. He says, everything that we're doing is out of pain. It's out of hurt. You know, you killed my friends. So I have to keep trying to get you. So this is going to be an ongoing cycle. And I think churches have one of the greatest shots of bringing this situation to a close by speaking to people about forgiveness. And you have to, at some point, let it go. You have to, you know, relinquish the debt of these other shooters. You, no matter how many times you shoot, you can't bring back those that have died. When I fought against the Freddie Gray riots and helped shut that down, I screamed to the gangbanger. I said, there's nothing you can do that's going to bring Freddie Gray back. I said, getting arrested or fighting the cops or shooting at the cops today is not going to bring him back. It's just going to put you in jail for life. And it was like a wake-up call. So one of the things we did, and you'll see at the end of this film, is homicides dropped by the efforts of the church and organizations going out to do this kind of work, is we told many groups, just let's have a truce for a few weeks during this summer. And some groups enjoyed that peace so long that it never kicked back off again until now, after the coronavirus, it seems like the shooting shot back up. Yeah.
People like Al Sharpton, they, you know, they've been called race baiters and stuff. And I think, no matter what you think of him, I think his ideas are wrong. In other words, he talks about, we're going to have a day of rage. There's something about that that we as Christians know that doesn't work. It gets people more angry. So it's one thing to have actually a peaceful protest, to say in the name of Jesus, we're walking to express or whatever. But when it gets into rage, it taps into that thing where you say, I want revenge. I want justice. I'm going to burn stuff down. I'm going to do stuff. Because it feels good, but it leads to bad things. And so what you're saying is that people, you have your friend shot, and unless you really know what Jesus says, it's the most human thing to say, I can't let that rest. I'm gonna kill the person that shot my friend, knowing the cops will probably never touch you because they're staying out of it. I mean, so it's a radical thing to bring Christian forgiveness, because most people say, well, it doesn't feel right. Yeah. But it's counterintuitive. But you're saying, I mean, I was saying that Bob Mazakowski was on here. He was telling me the backstory, because he talks to cops and everything, about the 7-year-old girl that was killed in line in the McDonald's. And he explained to me that it was a gang shooting, that the guy, the father of the girl, had killed somebody's friend, and then they videotaped themselves urinating on the grave. Like, this is out of hell. And so then some people come by and they spray 42 shots, and they kill the little girl.
Yeah. They're shooting in a random way now. Before, like, New York City and other places, it was more targeted. Now they're killing in a random style in Chicago, where whoever they hit, who's associated or not. So this has gone to a genocidal type of level. And this is why I think police, I think clergy, I think it has to be a multi-layer approach to going out there. I just flew back in, like I was telling you, I was in Watts out in Los Angeles. You want to talk about a project. They got the bounty hunter Bloods there. I mean, that's a tough, tough area. But the police out there are going to different families and saying, we'll invest in your child going to a better school, and we'll invest in your child going to college. This doesn't get any airways, but I've never seen anything like that. And even on our film, I'm saying, can you bring in the cops from L.A.? Can you bring in the cops from New York to help with a new strategy? Because what's going on in Chicago is simply not working.
Although, I mean, I think you have to say that the leadership in places like Chicago and New York, they have not backed the cops. I know, because I feel like they put gasoline on the fire. They're taking a political position that is making it harder for basic law enforcement to do its job. And it's almost like the cops are being told, stand back, don't get involved.
Yeah, it's very sad, you know, what we're seeing. There needs to be a balance to all this. Hey, I mean, there's unjust cops, but you got to think of, out of thousands of people being pulled over, it's usually 1 or 2%, they say, that something goes wrong. And, you know, and it's just everybody's tossed out.
I mean, this is what I'm saying.
It's like, so sad.
If somebody says there's a crooked cop, like whoever the guy was that kneeled on George Floyd there, you just be like, what's the problem? We have laws against that, and that guy will go to jail. It's not like people are saying it's okay. I mean, if somebody steps out of line and does something like that, we have laws, and everybody I know, me included, says, throw the book at those people. Make them an example so that every cop knows if you're tempted to behave like that, you better think twice and three times and five times. But yeah. I don't know anybody who wouldn't agree with that. So when you start demonizing all cops because you got these, you know, there's nasty individuals in every business, in the radio business, Albin Sadar, number one, nasty guy. And I'm telling you, it's just, but it's kind of common sense, I think. So it's not a race thing, but people make it a race thing and everybody gets angry and it's us against them. And I don't know anybody who doesn't care if people are getting shot.
What you'll see in Chicago, America's Hidden War, which is in a theater near you, is you're going to see, you know, real interaction between the cops in the community, and sometimes it went really bad and sometimes it went really good. Like, there was a shooting where everyone thought the cops shot an innocent guy, but the situation did turn that the guy was trying to pull out his guns at the time, you know, and they got that on the body cam. So very quickly that went away. But there's a lot of, you know, hurt and pain where I grew up, you know, where Diallo was shot 40 times, man, with just having a wallet, 40 bullets.
Mamadou Diallo. That was a long time ago, but I remember that.
Yeah,
vividly.
So those kind of things back before there were cell phones, they were just brushed under the table. But now the accountability is there, and there needs to be a great healing between the cops and the black community.
Yeah.
And I think our film, Chicago, America's Hidden War, gives the big overview of what the kids are going through. Children said, Eric, they have to sleep under their beds because they're scared of being shot.
When you hear this stuff, it's just, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Well, look, you and I know Jesus is the answer, but that sounds just like a bromide. We have to live that out.
Yeah.
And I know you've done that. So what is the film? In other words, what is it? Does it follow an arc, or is it just more like a standard documentary?
We don't do the old style of cinema verite where you just follow two or three people. We do a big sweeping over. We have the police chief. We have children. We have all these different dynamics. So you get the full picture of what the community is experiencing, including what the church does to fight against the homicides.
Okay, we're going to be right back. We're talking about the new film, Chicago, America's Hidden War.
This is for all the single people thinking that love has left them dry. Don't give up until you keep on the silver cup. You never know.
Hey there, folks. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? What, like four? The truth is, I know there are millions of people, in fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise, just getting older. That could do it, getting older, which is why I am so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pains, then I'm suggesting you order their three-week quick start, still discounted to only $19.95, about a dollar a day to see if we can get you out of pain too. And then after that, less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. Go to ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, ReliefFactor.com, 800-500-8384. I use it. It works. Check it out.
Hey folks, Eric Metaxas here. Like you, I am sick of hearing about big tech companies spying on their customers, selling their data, and not being able to keep their platforms safe and secure. Luckily, I've found SquadPod, a private platform that helps businesses, organizations, churches, and nonprofits take back control of their communication. SquadPod has three things going for it that other companies do not. First, SquadPod puts you in control of who is a part of your team, what they see, and how they interact with the group. Second, SquadPod is 100% owned and operated in the United States. Third, SquadPod is simple to use. Just create an account, invite your team, and start communicating via their secure video and messaging features. Learn more at squadpod.com/Eric. That's squadpod.com/Eric. Let me say it again, squadpod.com/Eric. Check it out.
Folks, welcome back. I'm talking to my friend Dimas Salaberrios. What was the book, the title of your book? Was it Kingpin?
Street God.
Street God.
Yes.
About you came out of a life of being a drug dealer.
Yeah.
More than a drug dealer, like a top drug dealer.
Yeah.
And now I understand you're dealing less drugs. Actually, no drugs. No, your life was so turned around. But that book, tell me again, Street God.
Street God, yes.
And that was in New York?
That was in New York. And I transported the dirt down to North Carolina. Yeah. So
you were in that world. So you understand this in a way that, you know, people like me, most people would not understand. You were in the world of guns and drugs. And so you bring a level of compassion, I know, to what's going on. Now, the movie Chicago, America's Hidden War, you were just describing what is in it. So get into that a little bit.
Yeah, you know, most people call the film war journalism. Like, we had to throw on bulletproof vests. We were every day out there with shooters. We built relationships. I made a strong relationship with another ex-kingpin who's, they called the Bentley Twins. They were just recently featured on some stuff. And those guys gave me the access into the gang meetings, into sitting down with legitimate shooters. You know, guys that are banging it every single day. I got to really go into that mindset, you know, as to what motivates them. Why are they shooting? You know, one guy named SP talked about he got into a fight and he got his brother killed. You know, he's standing there with some of his boys and they're pulling up their shirts. I got shot four times. I got shot. I mean, you thought you were in another country. You know, then we started to talk about the PTSD that these children are experiencing. you know, little kids, 10, 11 years old, saying the only place they feel safe is at school and at church. They said outside of that, we don't feel safe. And I just feel like there's so much that we can do and there's so much that we need to do. And I think it's grown people need to, and I'm actually want to call the church out specifically, that they would make Chicago a mission field. I love Guatemala. Great. But go out to Chicago. I had white people with us. I had a girl named Bonnie Kate who was crippled, who was shot at the shooting at the Aurora movie theater. And she was on crutches going and talking to gangbangers and ministering to them. I had Ron Hall, who you may know from Same Kind of Different as Me. Mm-hmm. He was out on the blocks with me walking with his wife who was a model. And we're going through. So everybody can do something. And if you're scared about that, we have something where you can teach master classes to kids. We can zoom it in through our technology where you can speak to these young people and work with them, because many of them are just born in a war zone. They're born in a battle that started years and years before them that's continuing on today. And, you know, Chicago's been one of the most known as one of the most corrupt cities in America, if not the most corrupt city.
Yeah. And that's going back decades and decades and decades. Yeah. And people think, hey, I got an idea. We'll solve it. We'll elect a black mayor. It'll solve all the problems. That's not really happening. Yeah. I mean, I'm not trying to demonize the mayor, but her leadership has not been good. I don't know what is happening. But I think people get very political and they're not. I mean, this is why I get excited about this film and about you, because you get into it. You're trying to solve problems. It's not about a political party or whatever. I think how are the cops reacting to this? Now, I'm thinking that if the mayor doesn't have your back, you're like even afraid to get involved in anything.
Yeah, well, the candidate I went for, her name was Amara. And if she would have won, it would have been a different story. We feature her in the movie. I mean, she's more boots on the ground.
Maybe she'll win next time.
Yeah,
when's the election?
I'm praying.
What's her name?
I don't know. Amara.
Amara what?
It's a very long African name. Forgive me. I can't quote it right now.
Amara.
Yeah, Amara. But that's you look up Amara, Chicago mayor candidate, you'll get it. But she's absolutely brilliant. She's done an Iron Man run twice. I mean, she's tough. She's smart. She's brilliant. And what she realized is that there's a real broken relationship with the cops in the community.
Yeah.
And also, I'll go a step further than that. Our generation, our jobs were a calling. Like, you look at this job as a calling, because I know you personally. You look at writing books as a calling. I look at what I do as a calling. Some of the younger people look at it as, how much am I getting paid? And why should I risk my life for
$40,000? If you're a cop.
Yeah.
Or a nurse, or a doctor, or a teacher, and you don't see it as a calling?
That's the problem.
This is something I have talked about. That is what's changed in America.
Yeah.
And that's bad. I mean, there were people if you're a teacher, terrible. You are called. It's not about the money. You get paid. But you're called to be a teacher.
Yes.
You're called to be a nurse, a doctor, whatever. It's not about the money. It's about a calling. And you're quite right that, I mean, the idea that I'm going to risk my life You have to believe that that's what you're supposed to do.
We remember you meet a guy who's like, I'm a cop. That meant something.
Yeah.
I'm a garbage. Whatever you were, it meant
well,
something.
Well, it means I am that. That is why I live out my life in that. It's not just the thing I do to get a check.
This generation, I've met several officers that said, look, I'm not risking my life. I said, if you saw a shooting, I asked one officer, if you saw a shooting and the guy was speeding down after, you know, busting shots, were you chasing him? He said, no, I wouldn't. And so one of the things I lean on is that there needs to be a house cleaning in the police force in Chicago. If you're not willing to do the job, hire people out of the military. Hire somebody else that has this passion, you know, that's not afraid when bullets are going off.
That is very interesting. I mean, I never thought of that, but that there are people that you get cynical. And when that happens, it's not going to work. You cannot be cynical about it. You have to believe that this is the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a big one. So some celebrities have gotten behind this film. Who are some people that we would know?
Denzel Washington bought out theaters. Charlemagne the God from the hip hop.
Charlemagne the God. Not the God. Charlemagne the God.
He bought out theaters. Daryl Strawberry, Angie Stone, Clifton Davis, one of the hosts of TBN.
Clifton Davis. Remember him from his big days on That's My Mama.
Yeah.
People don't remember. I remember. My Mama.
Yeah, Clifton Davis. Fantastic.
And, wow. Oh, yeah, I got the names here.
And many others have been just stepping up, blowing us away. Dexter Darden, his girlfriend JoJo.
Who's JoJo?
JoJo is a singer who's dating Dexter Darden, and the two of them... I don't know. They look.
When you mention JoJo, I think of JoJo Starbuck, the Olympic skater. She's a friend, JoJo Starbuck, but it's not JoJo Starbuck. It's the other JoJo.
Yeah.
Well,
and so, Mark Burnett, Roma. We got to mention them. Beautiful people back in the film and supporting us. So a lot of people have.
Willie Robertson. He trimmed his beard.
I haven't seen the new picture.
Well, you know what I find? This is how pathetic America is. The dude trims his beard, and they make it like a big news story. Like, he didn't shave the beard. Didn't even shave it. He just trimmed it. So it looks like a large beard, but not an insane beard. Not as easy top beard.
Yeah.
That's like news.
Willie's in the movie.
I love him.
And hit the streets. And he told people, he says, I'm not a racist. You know, he said, too many people believe I'm a racist.
Oh, yeah.
If I was racist, why would I be here risking my life?
Of course. It was
beautiful, Eric.
Well, he is. No, listen, those guys, they're the real deal. The Robertsons, Phil Robertson, the whole gang, they live their faith, you know. And that's what it is, you know, to go into these danger zones as you do. It's to live your faith and to show somebody something different, to say there's something real here. Why am I doing this?
Yeah.
But. I'm not aware of where the churches are in Chicago. I mean, I don't know. Are the white evangelical churches in Chicago, hey, you know, you want to do something woke, how about going and you know, putting your life out there and showing people that Jesus wants to heal this situation? I mean, there's a lot of Christians in the Chicago area.
Yeah, they are uniting together, which has been beautiful, called United Land Chicago. They're coming together, they're praying, they're going out into the streets, and so we hope, you know, they're going to be doing some big work this summer, and we hope that it has the same effect, that the shootings keep going down and dropping down.
Well, I mean, you know, you said forgiveness. How does that work? I mean, if somebody killed my brother or my friend, I would need to be very serious about Jesus to understand forgiveness. This is not a little idea.
Yeah. It'd have to be more framed as a truce.
Yeah.
Don't go trying to kill them and they will not come and try to kill you.
Yeah.
I think that would be a great step, and we've seen some success with that as a first step, but it's much further to go.
All right. Well, we're going to go to break. Folks, I'm talking to Dimas Salaberrios, my friend. Where can they find the trailer? What's the website?
They can go to Chicago, America's Hidden War. They can type that into YouTube or chicagoshiddenwar.com.
Okay.
They can find the trailer.
All right. We'll be right back.
Prescription Dispensing Labs is a national licensed pharmacy specializing in personalized prescription and natural medicine. The pharmacists at PD Labs are credited with formulating unique nasal sprays for the dreaded brain fog and a leader in uncovering new compounds to improve your health. PD Labs is one of the first pharmacies to now offer a telemedicine group trained in prevention medicine and how to restore your health. They have developed signature professional supplements that really work rather than just promotional advertising. PD Labs Pharmacy prides itself on innovation and amazing customer service that show dedication to your health. Today, everyone needs a choice in their health care, and they bring many refreshing options on how to maximize your body's amazing capabilities to bounce back. PD Labs has an extensive network of practitioners nationwide dedicated to true health care, not sick care. Visit their website, pdlabsrx.com, for free health tips, podcasts, and their popular online store. Call 888-909-0110. Ask for Ray and tell them Eric sent you. That's 888-909-0110.
I'll say goodbye to all my sorrow, and by tomorrow I'll be home.
Folks, we're talking about a new film. It's called Chicago, America's Hidden War. It's a documentary directed by my friend Dimas Salaberrios. Dimas, you were talking about the kids. I mean, it is hard for us to imagine kids having to grow up in circumstances like this in America.
Yeah.
In America. And you also talked about, you know, the mission field in a place like Chicago. People are like flying, you know, to other continents and stuff. These people need Jesus to heal the most fundamental. I mean, it's right. It's our backyard.
Yeah, we need a lot of local missions, particularly to help the young kids. I mean, many of them are growing up in war zones. They can't sleep at night. Many of them have PTSD. They're afraid. They feel on a daily basis that they're going to get killed. One of them in the film named Lorenzo, he says, I'm just scared to go outside. And all the other kids are like, yeah, me too. I'm scared. They're like, only time I'm out here is because a church is holding this event and I feel a little safe. But other than this, I don't want to come outside. I don't want to die. I don't want to be shot. And the stories they tell, one kid said he watched his cousin be gunned down in front of him. Then the guy walks off, comes, kicks him to make sure he's dead, and guns him down in front of the kids again. So a pastor named Corey Brooks said he was outside and he heard gunshots, and about 100 kids on a playground all hit the floor at the exact same time. He's not from Chicago. He said he blew his mind that all of them knew exactly what to do. And so my argument is, you know, Chicago's struggling financially, so they say. It's like, can we put beat cops back out there? Can there be cops stationed on these blocks where we know the shootings are happening? If that was New York City, you know, they put up a tower, lights there. They shut the block down. But for some reason, Chicago is just a quick cleanup crew. And I don't know all the financial issues going on, but I pray that, you know, government, the president, whoever, somebody would fund the police in a big way. So that, I remember New York City when it was wild, they were, we're adding 50,000 more police, 5,000 more.
So you are not, it doesn't sound like you are for defunding the cops.
Now, that is a complicated issue. The thing, in a big way, no, but should cops show up for everything is sad.
Okay, that's
now.
A different. I know what you're
that's
saying.
That's sad.
Right, yeah.
A cat's in a tree. You're calling the cop. You have an argument with your family. Calling the cop to fight the war on drugs, to fight the war on crime, to fight the war on tickets, to fight. I mean, how many wars can one organization fight? Well, I think there should be some other options when you dial 911 to say, look, I don't need a cop. Maybe I need a counselor or somebody that can come. So I think figuring that out could be helpful, but I'm not an expert.
Yeah.
I'm a clergyman.
Yeah.
But that's some of the thoughts that I think about a lot. It's like, you know, some young cop coming in and maybe out of his element dealing with some mental health issues.
Well, I was going to say, it's tragic. But I mean, look, we know demonizing cops is wrong. I mean, these are people putting themselves in dangerous situations. Even if things go wrong, have some mercy and some grace. I mean, you know, if I always say, if we're talking about a murderer, like, I don't know anybody who doesn't want the murderer to pay for that. We're not talking about excusing evil behavior.
Yeah.
But when things get so divided, it's hard for us even to have any grace on either side. It just becomes us versus them, us versus them.
I have compassion on the cops. I have compassion on the community. I have compassion on the way the system is set up right now. It's hard, you know, and I'm sure you read this more than me, but it's hard to see. I was with an officer who was smashed in his head, and he said, I've never even pulled out pepper spray on anybody. I've never harmed anyone. And that's sad. Then you got kids, you know, that have stories of, you know, trigger happy police officers that gunned down their brother, you know, as he was just fleeing and things. So It's just so, it's like, get me to utopia. You know, heaven is going to be the answer.
Well, you start longing for heaven because it's when it gets really ugly.
It's really
well, Demas, listen, the church is deputized by God to bring heaven to earth now. The Holy Spirit lives inside us, and we can bring God into these situations. There is no other solution. I mean, it doesn't mean there's no political solutions. There's always things that can be done and that should be done, and there's politicians that are doing the wrong thing. But one thing we know is God does have the ultimate answers.
That's right. And this film, as crazy as it sounds, you will have an incredible movie experience. You'll be filled with hope. You're going to see an army go out into the street called the church. The largest nonprofit organization in the world is going to be marching. You're going to see guns taken off the street. You're going to see gangbangers turned around. This film is something that will inspire you, encourage you, and fill your heart with hope and joy. And that's was one of the most important things that we wanted to show.
And the website, tell me again, because this is
it's
too much.
ChicagosHiddenWar.com, or you can go to Fandango and buy tickets. and you can go to CineLife.com as well.
Chicago, America's Hidden War documentary film. We need to face this in America. This is everybody's problem. This is not Chicago's problem. This is our problem.
This is happening.
So, Demas, just congratulations on directing a film and on everything you do. God bless you, my friend.
Thank you.
Albin,
what?
It's just you and me. Bob left.
Oh, Bob.
Bob Mazurkowski left.
Get
so
back here.
We're going to have to fill the time. They tell you, stretch. We've got, we've got a lot of stuff to share. We're going to do a viewer rights segment where somebody writes in. Now, folks, I want to say this again. Anyone who writes to us at ericmetaxas.com. Now, you should go there to sign up for the newsletter. If you don't, you're dead to me. ericmetaxas.com. Go there, sign up for the newsletter. But anybody who writes to us at ericmetaxas.com, I'm still able to read all of them, and I do.
Yeah.
I would like to think that eventually there'll be so many that I can't, but I'm still trying, to stay ahead of it, and I'm reading these. So I want to talk about this. A viewer writes, I don't know where this viewer is from, but he's comparing Trump to Hitler.
What?
Very savvy. No one's ever said that before,
no.
So we're going to get back to this. But before I do, a viewer writes, Albin.
Yeah. I came down on from Tarrytown through Grand Central today.
Okay, we're in New York City.
Yeah.
You come from
Tarrytown.
Westchester down here. You take the train. You get out at Grand Central.
Yeah, station.
Terminal.
That terminal right there, the big one, the beautiful one. And there's a big long line, and I saw a big sign up in several places that said, get the vaccine and get 2 round-trip tickets anywhere on the Metro North, okay? And then I saw another sign that said, sell your soul for a round trip to Ossining. I said, okay, I'm getting in line here.
Be a guinea pig.
Yeah, exactly. Somebody I know very, very closely, and I'm not going to mention
Before you say this, I just want to say our policy on this program is if you want to get the vaccine,
that's right,
get it.
Yeah, right.
If you want to drive 150 miles an hour and risk your life, feel free,
right,
as long as you don't hurt anybody else. But when somebody tells you have to do the dangerous thing, I would say don't do it, right? So I'm telling everyone I know, unless you are in a bad place where you feel I've got to do this, I would say do not do it. Because there's all kinds of questions and you're hearing anecdotal information about people dying and stuff. So for crying out loud, folks, don't let people tell you like, hey, you know, just go and take it. I would say no,
and
do not.
Right. And before I heard your advice, I got it 42 times I got shot, and now I'm going around healing people. So
that's amazing, Albin.
It's wonderful. But anyway, a guy I know very closely.
Not
he
a
actually,
joke. This is true.
This is not a joke. My wife told me about this, actually. We both know this guy. He got the Johnson & Johnson one, And like the next day, he could not hear. He was totally deaf, like in one of his ears. And of course, he goes to the ENT, get it checked out. And they said, if you had not come within like the last 48 hours or something like that, you would have been permanently deaf. And it was from apparently the J&J vaccine. So, yes, there's some guinea pig trials going on here right now. So you got to be careful. That's all we're saying.
So that's not a joke.
And, right. And he's a younger guy. He's like 35 years old. He's 35. He's not.
He went deaf,
not 60.
In his right ear.
Totally deaf.
Now, people are saying that the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, some people, your saliva tastes like floor wax.
Very nice. But you can polish your shoes, and it's great. Side effect.
That was a dumb joke. But what you're saying is not a joke.
No, it's not.
Okay, my father and mother took the vaccine. My father and mother both were sick for weeks. My father was very sick for weeks. And there's no other explanation. And in fact, I talked to some doctors. Oh, yeah, this is the vaccine's effect. But, you know, there's nothing permanent that we know of. But I just want to say, ladies and gentlemen, don't get into this politicization. This is just use common sense, okay? There's enough information out there that says do not go with the flow. When everybody says you got to do something, make a note, do not do it. Because I would say that, you know, again, if people want to get it, good for you. It's a free country. But don't put pressure on people. Look, I walk around in New York City. People are wearing masks outdoors.
I know.
Lunacy. It's like I can't even believe that people are so sucked into this that they're wearing masks outdoors. And here's what it is. It's kind of like saying, like, hey, I'm a good guy. Don't bother me. Don't look at me funny. Yeah. I'm going to go with the crowd.
Yeah.
You're breathing your own carbon dioxide. Yeah. It is totally unhealthy. All doctors say fresh air.
Fresh air.
Fresh air. Breathe. Fresh
breathe.
Air. So this is insanity.
Okay.
Anyway.
Yes.
All right.
We got a
viewer rights.
Yes. Viewer rights.
Okay. This is somebody named, I'll make up a name.
And we get quite a few of these letters, by the way.
And this is, I'll make up a name, Patrick McHenry.
Okay.
All right, here we go. It's a good made up name, isn't it? It's
Like,
it just
that
like
way.
It's Irish. Patrick McHenry.
Sure.
All right, here we go. He writes, she writes, please go to the web and read the definition of a cult leader. Trump is not a Christian in the way Bonhoeffer was.
Hmm.
Holy cow. If you're not a Christian the way Bonhoeffer was, you're probably the Antichrist. You might be Adolf Hitler 2.0. Let me just ask a question. Trump is not a Christian the way Bonhoeffer was. Probably, though, Biden is, right?
He might
Biden
be.
Is a Bonhoeffer-type
so
Christian.
So far. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. Okay, so this person writes, please go to the web, read the definition of a cult leader. Trump is not a Christian in the way Bonhoeffer was. He sensed where his support would be if he adopted some of our principles like the sacredness of life. I think the word sanctity, but we're going to go with it. He was for abortion before he was against it. I am a lifelong Republican. I did not vote for Hillary or Joe either. We really did not have a choice, which is sad in a country of 330 million. Trump is as evil in some ways as Hitler was. !! Open your eyes! !! Now, it's interesting because you can't tell from the text whether this man was foaming at the mouth, but I get the impression he might have been. Here's the issue, folks, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Let's just point out the logical absurdities in this note written to me, okay? He says he was for abortion before he was against it.
Mm.
So was Eric Metaxas.
Mm. Uh-oh.
So you're saying I'm a phony? I write in my book, Fish Out of Water,
okay.
That when I was
maybe?
A young man... That I was involved in aborting a child.
Yeah, I know.
And that is called a sin.
Mm-hmm.
It is horrible. But people do those things before they realize that it's wrong. And so you repent and you ask God for forgiveness. But you never say, oh, it didn't matter. It mattered, okay? So Trump obviously was not the man he is today.
No.
But something happened and he changed. So the idea that this person is sort of saying, well, you can't change. Listen, you know who says that you can't change? The devil, okay?
Yeah, right.
Whatever you did, I'm going to haunt you with it. I'm going to haunt you with it. I'm going to beat you over the head with your past sins. My sins are nailed to the cross, folks.
Yeah.
And so to say that, you know what, we're going to continue. We're going to do another segment. I'm going to continue my rant.
Oh, boy.
When we come back, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. Don't forget to go to ericmetaxas.com, sign up for the newsletter. Folks, please do that and sign up all your friends. You're doing them a favor. ericmetaxas.com. Don't forget. Folks, welcome back. Final segment. Okay, Alvin, I'm reading A Viewer Writes, okay?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And what did I say, Patrick McHenry? Let's just change it to Alice McGillicuddy, just so you know that it's neither of them.
But it's somebody who's Irish. Let's just put it that way.
It's okay? some Irish, some angry Irish person, really blotchy with rage.
Yeah.
And here's the person writes, I can't believe an educated person, as you claim to be, can be taken in by Donald Trump. I did not vote for Hillary or Joe either. We really did not have a choice. Which is sad in a country. Trump is as evil in some ways as Hitler was.
Oh, only in some ways. Not
yeah,
in
only
all.
In some ways.
No,
not in all ways, right? Like, right. He didn't murder millions and millions of people.
Yes.
But in other ways, just as evil. Mm-hmm. Mark it down.
Okay.
So, anyway, Alice McGillicuddy, I got to tell you, you're not being logically, you're not thinking logically. When somebody says Trump is as evil as Hitler was in some ways, that's a non-statement. I don't even know what that is. Every one of us knows that apart from the grace of God, we're evil. So it's kind of a meaningless statement. But when some people say that Trump is a cult leader, he has fascist tendencies, can I tell you something? I have fascist tendencies. The question is not whether you have fascist tendencies. The question is whether you are a fascist or behave as a fascist. And by God's grace, I do not. So when somebody says Trump has fascist tendencies, you realize they're thinking so sloppily. The question is, folks, can you point to things that he does? Can you speak like the language of men in English and explain to me what in the world you're saying? I would say for sure this person cannot, because it's an emotional statement. Whenever people say things like that, it's just preposterous. I mean, think how preposterous it is to say that Trump is not a Christian in the way Bonhoeffer was.
Right.
Is he a Christian in the way that Albin is, or that I am, or that, like, what does this even mean? I'm not a Christian in the way that Bonhoeffer was. Bonhoeffer was the gold standard.
Yeah.
Okay, and we all strive for that. But it's preposterous to say, here, you got a choice. Either a holy man of God like Bonhoeffer, or everybody else is of the devil, and I'm not voting for anybody. If you don't vote for people because you're looking for perfection, you're part of the problem. You allowed Joe Biden to get into office. If you didn't vote, when you don't vote, whoever wins, you're on the the hook for that person.
You know, I wasn't crazy about Trump when he was first running, and people would say, like, well, he had these affairs and whatever, but I let that pass because I said, I don't know Trump and I don't know his sins, but I'll tell you something. I'm a bigger sinner than Trump. Okay, so that's a non-issue. That's a non-starter for me.
You're the real fascist.
I am.
You are Hitler
2.0. Right. I'm taking away your microphone right now, sir.
I know. It's incredible. That's okay. But I just say, because I get all these letters that say the Trump is this, or, and what fascinates me and actually saddens me is how illogically people think.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't like somebody, explain to me what you mean. But when you say things that he has authoritarian fascist tendencies, or he's a cult leader, it's so preposterous. It's so silly that you can't really dignify with much of a response except some kind of mockery.
Yeah, and Jesus said, by the fruit you will know them, by their fruit. He has produced such great fruit in his just as 4 years. We see what he has done for the country, for the economy, for the world in general, how he stopped wars, how he did some wonderful things, folks. You got to admit. Now, how is Joe Biden in his position as the unelected bureaucrat? How is he doing right now? What are his fruits?
Well,
right?
it's hard not. I mean, you could talk for an hour about this, but I want to say to people, you've got to think logically, folks. And the letter that I just wrote you is the classic example. Many people I know, some of them brilliant people, they don't think logically. They let their emotions cloud things. And they say things like this, and it's simply preposterous. If somebody is pro-life in terms of their actions, I don't really care about their past or what they're really thinking. The reason somebody is called president, he presides. He's over the executive branch. He does stuff. The stuff he does, that goes into the history books. So, you know, the idea that somebody is not perfect, he's not a Christian as Bonhoeffer was, it becomes meaningless. And I just want to say I'm not in favor of that. Okay, Alvin, we got to tell people, don't forget, use the code ERIC wherever you go. At the AMP, just use the code ERIC.
Yep.
And don't forget, sign up for the newsletter, folks. Please. Thank you.